we live for the AFC South. I'm going to get a bumper sticker that says, I heart AFC South.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I'm your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I am here with the one, the only. You're probably not the only, are you? You're probably not the only Matt Rogers. That's a pretty common name. I'm here with Matt Rogers. Rogers, what's going on, dude?
There's a couple guys. They're dead now.
Okay.
There were guys, I should say.
There were guys, and now you are the only Matt Rogers.
I have murdered all.
Via violent murder.
Exactly. Now it was pretty soft, compassionate murder. It was like shush, go to sleep, my friend, type murders. But they're definitely murdered. Oh my God, are they murdered?
Okay, cool. Well, that's good to know. So he is the one, the only, Matt Rogers. I'm Nick Walsh. I think I said that already. I'd assume there are other Nick Walshes too. I meet a lot of other Walshes because every dude whose last name is Walsh just goes by Walsh. So it kind of broadens the amount of people that you could meet who go by your same name when that happens. But anyway, this is all irrelevant.
No, it is. It's very relevant because I'm in a situation with a couple other Nick Walshes where we're going to murder you, dude.
Oh, okay. Well, real, I mean, you have already, our freshman year of college, you looked me in the eyes and told me that you were sorry that you had to kill me, and then pulled back a switchblade and started lunging it into my stomach after flicking it back on the pullback. So I could see that.
Long play.
Yeah, Rogers has earnestly looked into my eyes and told me he was about to kill me while we were both very messed up, and I believed him.
Little did we know that someone offers me a pack and a half of Marlboro Reds 10 years in the future, and I'm going to kill you when I see it.
Well, there you have it. It was just a pack and a half. That's all it took.
Yeah, but a pack and a half with 11 cigarettes in the half pack. So
okay, I mean 31 cigarettes. You know, that's right. My lucky number, 31. But it's not.
That's how you're gonna die.
Yeah, I guess it's my unlucky number now. Anyway, now that we're done with that, we are here for part two of the AFC South. So we're gonna talk about the Titans first, then the Texans. The Titans are greater than the Texans. They're not. We do this, and this is similar to the AFC West. We're leaving the important team for last, so you got to listen to the whole thing. Ignore the fact that you can fast forward, and please don't fast forward. We'll have fun stuff to say about the Titans too, I promise. If you guys did miss part one, that should be out already. That was the Colts and the Jags. If you know the divisions and you understand process of elimination, you knew that before I said it, but I said it anyway. We got some good stuff coming tonight. The Titans are more of like an enigma, and the Texans, I think, are where, you know, a lot of the conversation is going to lie on this one. But that's all right. We'll figure it all out. Before we get into it, Rogers, you got anything to say? Anything to plug?
Nah, man, let's roll AFC South until I die.
Yeah, we live for the AFC South. I'm going to get a bumper sticker that says, I heart AFC South. Did you know in California you can get bumper stickers with a heart on them as like a custom thing?
No, I did not, but now I'm going to have to move back to California. I still have my driver's license as a California one, and I'm going to heart a bunch of shit.
Yeah, that's like a thing. You'll see like really cringy like middle-aged couples with like – their initials, like initials, hearts, initials, or like Joe Hart Deb as like their license plate. And it's like, man, that sucks. Okay. You probably lead
how
a really.
Much does it run now? Like if I go like I heart murdering Nick Walsh, is that like a You get a bunch, discount, 75% off, bulk prices. How's it work?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe you pay by the letter. Maybe it's less per letter. I don't really understand anything about license plates or the world. But, you know, we don't need to understand the world. All we need to understand is football here.
I'll tell you in hell.
Fair enough. All right, let's get into the fucking Titans. So I guess the big overall news with the Titans is that Matt LaFleur has moved on to become the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. He was previously the offensive coordinator of the Titans. And they promoted tight ends coach Arthur Smith to be the new offensive coordinator. There is not much that is known about Arthur Smith out in, you know, various circles. But I think the safe assumption would be that the offense is going to look somewhat similar to what they tried to do last year, which was run the ball a fuck ton with like mediocre results until the last couple weeks of the season. I don't know. Do you have any opinions on the Smith hire, or what, do you have like any conflicting opinions on what the Titans might look like this year?
Other than the fact that I feel like he was everybody's second grade teacher at some point, being named Arthur Smith. No, not really. I mean, I feel like the running game that came, like we're going to talk about, and that you kind of alluded to, they realized later on in the season, which is fine. But yeah, I mean, that specifically does nothing for me. We'll talk about the specifics going forward.
Yeah, it's I don't expect too much to be changed. Mike Vrabel is still the head coach. You know, we'll kind of see, I guess, this year whether like the run heavy approach and the kind of boring offense was LaFleur's call or whether that was Vrabel's call or whatever. You know, could be sort of a mixture of the two, because I was real excited for LaFleur last year and he did not prove to be exciting. So let's talk about the quarterbacks. We'll start with Mariota. Obviously, he's the starter here. Mariota's been bad. Like, he's has done nothing to show that he is a competent NFL quarterback at this point in his career. I know he struggled with injuries. I know he was playing hurt a bit last year. But do you have any reason to draft or be confident in Marcus Mariota going forward?
No.
Okay.
That is
all
it.
Right. They brought in Ryan Tannehill as the backup. And, you know, while Tannehill was never a great starter, he's probably the top backup in the league, I would guess, at this point. I would not be surprised if we see Tannehill starting during the season, whether it's due to Mariota injuries or Mariota getting benched. But, yeah, he's there. Again, not really relevant for your fantasy drafts. Let's move to the pass catchers. So last year, Corey Davis saw just an absolute ton of targets. I believe he had about a 25% target share. That's, you know, very high. They have brought in other weapons, whereas last year he was kind of the only thing there. But right now, Corey Davis is wide receiver 42. That's the sixth pick in the ninth round. Would you like to draft Corey Davis at that price?
Yeah, I think I would. And like, I was a Corey Davis guy last year, partially because I believed in Mariota a little bit more than I should have. But like the last podcast, we discussed Dede Westbrook, who was going eighth round, something like eighth pick or whatever. Corey Davis might be the latest drafted number one wide receiver. Again, I'm speculating. I'm not sure of that exactly.
No, that sounds right.
I think it is. He's the number one wide receiver that's being drafted the latest. And
Ravens.
I'd rather have him over Dede Westbrook around before. I'm not saying that I want him in my lineup week one, but as far as like a wide receiver four fringe flex play, I think he proved last year time and time again more than, again, a guy like Dede Westbrook, just because we just discussed him. He's proved to be more of a fringe flex value than a lot of other guys going in this range.
Yeah, I think his volume this year is going to decrease a little bit. But I mean, this is a guy who was the first wide receiver taken in his draft, and he's entering his third season. So like, it's entirely possible that this is the season Corey Davis puts it together a little bit more. He might not need that 25% target share to be, you know, a more productive fantasy player, or maybe it'll be better for him. Maybe the fact that Delanie Walker is out there and Adam Humphries is out there and, you know, all these other guys who are actually okay drawing some coverage, you know, maybe that does help him out a little bit. The one thing that's a little worrisome is, you know, Adam Humphries does man the slot pretty much exclusively. And Davis, his best games have come in games where he did play a high percentage of slot snaps. So we'll kind of see on that front. He's pretty much going to have to do it on the outside this year. But yeah, I think he's a pretty solid pick at this point in the draft. I mean, like you said, I was thinking as you were talking, I think Ravens and Bills are probably the only teams whose number one wide receivers are going later. But yes, he's, you know, towards the very bottom of that crew. I mentioned Adam Humphries. He is wide receiver 62, 12th pick in the 13th round. For me, like, he's going to have fantasy usable weeks for sure. I'm not sure that I'm going to know how to predict him because I think this is going to be a run first offense. And you know, it's like, when are you going to be like, yes, I want to play Adam Humphries this week?
Right. And here's what let me pose it to you this way. And I think you might potentially agree. You don't have to. So Corey Davis is being drafted as a wide receiver 4, right? And I think he has high-end wide receiver 3 upside, right, for what he could be. I think Adam Humphries is being drafted as a wide receiver 5 or 6, and I think that he has high wide receiver 3 upside, if that makes sense. Week to week, you're right in what I'm saying, but I think that him and Corey Davis in fantasy, as far as fantasy goes, have the same potential ceiling. So I think that I'm more comfortable with him at that price because I do think that come week 9, but they could be on the same plane of what they could be. And I think that it's a fine price to play or a fine price to pay as your wide receiver 5 or possibly.
So that's something that I haven't really thought about. And you're making a very good point, I think, in that, like you said, when we get to week 9, like, would it be surprising for Corey Davis and Adam Humphries to have within 10 fantasy points of each other? Like, absolutely not, you know, and you're right. You're getting Humphries in that 13th round. That seems like a pretty decent deal to me. I don't see the upside for him to be an every week starter, that kind of thing. But again, I guess how much upside or how many players at that point do you have that kind of upside? And Humphries has been a guy that you've been able to throw in the flex on bye weeks at certain times. So maybe that's what his role is this year too.
Right. And I guess what I'm saying too is that, like, when you're taking at that 13th round wide receiver, you know, 60 or whatever, I think he would have, when you're nitpicking, the highest floor.
Right.
If you will. And again, he's a guy that you could, you'll probably drop into. But I don't see as much of a ceiling between him and Corey Davis, and the price is drastic.
Yeah, see, and that I think is my thing, is that when I'm drafting in the 13th round, I'm not drafting for floor, I'm drafting for ceiling. I'm looking for, you know, Jacoby Myers or I'm trying to think of other wide receivers who, you know, like, aren't necessarily going to get drafted high but have a chance to, like, blow up, that type of thing. Sorry?
Right. So, and you're right. I guess what I'm saying is more is that I prefer Humphries at his price today. Like, the Titans receiver that I will own more often will be Humphries at 13-12 than Davis at 9-6, because I think that Humphries is a guy that I'll be more comfortable starting based on the price that I drafted him.
Okay. Yeah. And that's 100% fair. The rest of the guys on this roster who matter are AJ Brown, second round rookie out of Ole Miss, Taywan Taylor and Tajay Sharp. You know, on their initial depth chart, Taylor and Sharp were ahead of AJ Brown. I mean, none of these guys are worth owning. The Titans are not going to have 3 fantasy usable wide receivers this year. I like AJ Brown going forward. I think he's good. Not that I'm like a good scout or anything like that, but I'm pretty bullish on AJ Brown's career. And in Dynasty, I would be, you know, looking to acquire him if I did not have him. Do you have any opinions on these guys?
The best way I can phrase it is, I think come week 7, all 5 of these receivers that we just mentioned will be equal as far as their fantasy lineup. I could start Tajay Sharp. I could start Corey Davis. Like, I don't fucking know. They're on my roster. They're the guy I'm going to drop on.
I don't know if you're wrong there. So let's move to the tight ends. Yeah. We've got Delanie Walker coming off of his injury last year that kept him out the whole year. He's tight end 13. That's eighth pick in the 12th round. And then behind him, you have Jonnu Smith, who's dealing with his own injuries. And then you have Anthony Firkser, who had like a random touchdown last year one week, and Michael Pruitt. I don't think either of those guys matter. Delanie is 35 and coming off a pretty serious injury. Are you willing to draft him?
So here's a little personal note that I'll say is that last year I got into some tight end problems and I picked up Jonnu Smith as well as some other tight end that I can't think of right now. And I didn't start Jonnu Smith on that Thursday night, like Texans game where he actually caught like an early touchdown and whatever and got hurt, whatever. So I'm very fucking upset about that whole situation. Delanie Walker is going to be a guy that's going to go in your draft because you're going to have that one guy that's like, oh shit, I looked at shit and I'm a little bit too like beyond my depth. So Delanie Walker is the guy that I'm going to take as my starting tight end. It's fucking fine. Anybody that you're taking after the top seven tight ends post round 11 is a fucking whatever. Draft the name. No harm, no foul. In my
like
opinion.
Delanie Go could ahead. Theoretically work out. Like the con side is what I said, that he's 35 years old and he's coming off a broken ankle or whatever the fuck it was last year. The pro side is that he has legitimate chemistry with Marcus Mariota. Like Delanie Walker has to be considered Mariota's favorite receiver in his career. As well as he doesn't necessarily need the crazy athleticism to produce. He's an old tight end who is going to be the safety blanket for his quarterback. Like that's his role. He's going to get you, you know, an average of four catches for 60 yards and maybe eight touchdowns on the year. You know, like that's fine. That's what tight end is a lot of the time.
I agree. So I'll ask you this, is that for anybody listening and whatever, however long you've been playing fantasy football, what you would worry about for people that, you know, are streaming tight ends or whatever, is that could Delanie Walker week one, week two be just as valuable as anybody else from tight end 8 to 20? Yes. But just do not get hung up on the name of Delanie Walker. Like, don't think that that's a dude that you can rip forever. Delanie Walker is a straight up tight
end. Yeah, 100%. And
I could totally see people like Delanie Walker goes for 50 and a touchdown week one, and they're just like, oh, Delanie Walker is my tight end, ride or die for the rest of the season. It's like, don't do that.
Yeah, that's not the correct call. We'll see what happens with him. I have very little opinion either way on Delanie Walker at this point in my life. The guys that are going after him though, Jordan Reed and Greg Olsen, who largely fall into the same category as him. I think I'd rather have Jordan Reed. And then Mark Andrews, Kyle Rudolph, Jimmy Graham, Trey Burton. Like, I don't want any of those people. You know, it's
you'd rather have Jordan Reed week to week.
Yeah.
As a streamer. You know what I'm saying? Like at that point, it's different than past years where you draft Jordan Reed, Delanie Walker. You're not invested in those guys at all. So you'd rather have Jordan Reed, yes, but you got to be willing to let go of Jordan Reed. You got to be willing to let go
exactly.
of Delanie Walker week three.
The second Jeff Swaim shows me that he's going to get six targets a week from the Jaguars, I am dropping Delanie Walker's old ass and picking up Jeff Swaim, you know?
I'm going to look into this closer, but I feel like Jeff Swaim is like a jinx of startable tight ends for the year in fantasy football as a backup. I'm going to look into that closer. Jeff Swaim is just be like, hey, I'm here, and that's why you can't start your tight end for six straight weeks because I'm a dick.
That's probably correct. All right, let's move to the meat and potatoes of this one, similar to the Jaguars. It's the running back. We've got Derrick Henry going running back 14. That's the sixth pick. No, that can't be right. I think I mistyped the running back 14 thing. But he's going as the sixth pick in the fourth round. Derrick Henry was kind of a league winner last year. Down the stretch, he was just incredible. He was averaging like 6 yards a carry. He was getting tons of touchdowns. Are you buying into him this year?
I'm buying in Derrick Henry hard. going back to just the sheer volume aspect of it is like most people play PPR at this point. He's not as relevant there, obviously, but I feel like those last like 4 or 5 weeks that he tore it up, that the Titans and Mike Vrabel learned a little bit of something. I think that when we talked about Marlon Mack, who you definitely, based on the round, maybe mistyped where he was going, running back, whatever, I'd rather have him than Marlon Mack. I've done a bunch of mock drafts where you go like running back, two wide receivers, whatever. Derrick Henry is your number two running back in the fourth is fucking tight, man. There are no reason to not feed this man. He's arguably one of like the top 8 to 10 most talented backs in the league.
I agree with all of that. And the lack of pass catching ability just scares the shit out of me. It makes me avoid him because, again, he's the top of that tier of guys who are situational backs. And I think you're right. I think the Titans have no reason to go away from him. I think that if they didn't learn anything from the end of last year, then they're fucking stupid. But when the Titans go down 14 points in the first quarter, how many points is Derrick Henry going to get you?
See, so I think based on what we saw at the end of last year is I think the Titans are in a situation with like where the Bills were last year with Josh Allen just scrambling all over the fucking place and running the ball. Titans know that they're not a playoff contender for the next 2 years. Mariota, Derrick Henry, and they're stringing on a Corey Davis are like what they want for the future. And again, I'm speculating. But that is going to be something they got to ground and pound. Mariota is that type of guy where you got to ground and pound. I truly do think that they're going to just let Derrick Henry go because I also truly believe, and again, I'm getting just super hard on like yelling about my shit, that I don't – Derrick Henry could be the fucking next close to like Todd Gurley type feature back. Not quite that versatile, but like Derrick Henry, there's no reason for him to not be a top eight running back, Mark Ingram style in the whole league. And I think that they know that now. And while they're down, at the end of the year, when they were down and they were out of it, they kept pounding and they kept feeding him and he kept fucking exploding. And I just think that there's no reason.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're definitely not wrong. I have my worries for sure, but like I also can't argue with it. Like I was saying, I've been doing the draft leagues, you know, the $1 leagues or whatever, the best ball leagues, and I just took Derrick Henry in one. You know, like I don't think he's a bad pick. I have my concerns for sure, but he's definitely going in a spot where he should be going. And I agree with you that I would rather have him than Marlon Mack, just based on talent level, I think.
Yeah. But not even just talent level is that I've done mock drafts where I've gone like if he's going in the fourth round, receiver, Travis Kelce, receiver, Derrick Henry number one, because when they were completely out of it last year, more so than the beginning of the year, they just started to feed him. And it's like, why would you not? Why would you not make him potentially one of the feature backs in the NFL? I don't know. I feel like Marlon Mack, there's a bunch of questions. All these like high running or low end running back twos that like you're talking about with these issues and whatever, he's got the least shit surrounding him as far as what he could be. And I think that his role is more defined than it's arguable, and I don't value them closely at all, but I think that it's arguable that his workload is more guaranteed than like a fucking Nick Chubb.
Where no that I could see up, that.
Say what you're saying. And I mean, I'm taking Nick Chubb possibly end of first round in drafts. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he's just as valuable. But I'm just saying as far as where he's going, early fourth round, can't do better than that. Can't do better than that. Every single running back, Josh Jacobs, upside out the ass, they're equal in drafts. Derrick Henry's proven, man. I'd rather have him all across the board. He will get fed.
Yeah. You know, no, I feel he absolutely will. One other point is that their starting left tackle, Taylor Lewan, he's suspended for 4 games. Their right tackle is dealing with some injuries as well. Sorry?
Fuck you, dude. No, I said, fuck you, dude.
I don't think those are like huge things, but they are things to think about. Like the Titans had a really, really great offensive line last year, which is you know, certainly contributes to the running game. And speaking of contributing to that running game, Deion Lewis still averaged like 3.3 yards per carry last year with that great offensive line. He's going running back 56, 13.05. After being like ridiculously heavy on him last year, I think I'm staying away.
Yeah. Okay. Not touching. No need.
I'm going to be devil's advocate against both of us. Derrick Henry gets hurt. How valuable is Deion Lewis? Are they? Do you think like he still gets that Derrick Henry volume, or do they sort of change the offense?
No, but more receptions, more a different type of game. I would say like I view Derrick Henry as like a top 16 running back, top 15 running back. He gets hurt. I view Deion Lewis as a top 24, 25, which puts him in this conversation. As far as PPR goes, solely because of volume, is that they're going to fucking they have nothing else.
No, I think you're probably right on that. Their third running back is Jeremy McNichols. I don't think that matters. You got anything else on the Titans? All right, let's move to the Texans. So the Texans are a really, really interesting team for a lot of reasons, I think. I have come to the opinion that I think Bill O'Brien is one of the worst play callers in the NFL. Their offensive line is going to be very bad. But they have a lot of fantasy upside. I'm also of the opinion that I would draft Deshaun Watson ahead of Pat Mahomes. Deshaun Watson is currently quarterback 3. That's the 11th pick in the 5th round. We know quarterbacks are overvalued. So, you know, let's talk about it relative to quarterback 3 instead of 11th pick in the 5th round here. What do you think about Deshaun Watson?
So you stole my shit. I take Deshaun Watson as number one quarterback for sure. And like you said, the price is brutal, quarterback all the way, right? I hate that. I would not, in my own draft, I would not take Mahomes before the 7th, right? But if you're going to be a psycho and take quarterback there, Deshaun Watson has better value, is what I'll say. I also think the Texans are going to win the AFC this year. If they can stay healthy. Right. So Watson, they also, two of their first three draft picks were O-line.
No, you're right.
Not saying that matters and how it's going to translate, but they're trying to, they've been one of the worst O-lines forever. But the way I look at it is this, is that Deshaun Watson has been elite fantasy-wise with one of the worst O-lines in the league. Right. They address it. Not saying that's going to translate, but how could it be worse if he can be healthy is the way that I look at it. Right. Take Mahomes out of the picture. Deshaun Watson, there's no reason to think that he shouldn't be the number one quarterback this year. We've talked about it before. No one's ever gone back-to-back number one quarterbacks, at least in the last like 30 years, I think I can confidently say. The Mahomes regression is real. Do I think that it's like brutally real? No, but I totally think that Watson can overcome that, right? We'll talk about the rest of it and what – can translate to Watson having way more value when we get to the other players in this offense. But as far as price, I'm with you. No quarterback. I would take
like what's the earliest fifth or sixth round. And even that, like I wouldn't want to, you know, like I would do it because I would feel like I was pressured into it. If he was sitting there.
I did that with Cam that 1 year, but I'll text you. I'll send you a screenshot of my diary later on. But Watson after that in like the 7th or 8th. I'm not going to own Mahomes. I'm not going to own Watson. I'm not going to own Luck. I'm not going to own any of those guys. But Watson, priced-wise, has the best chance with Mahomes to be quarterback 1 with the rushing and everything like that. O-line's an issue. I just look at it as that he's been there. Take Mahomes out of the picture. With Mahomes in the picture, past 2 seasons, Watson's been the number one quarterback fantasy-wise. Right? Obviously, Mahomes didn't have the year before. That was Watson's rookie year. But Watson has a better tenure, if you will. Watson has a better track record. He's got better receivers on the top end. Granted, there's no depth there. We'll talk again about that. But I don't want to take a quarterback ever before 6th. I'll say this, like what you said, wrap it up. Quarterback 3 for Watson.
Yeah, like Aaron Rodgers is going ahead of him. That's insane to me. Absolutely insane.
I'm a Packer fan.
The I think the ridiculous argument for Watson, and I know Cutie's hurt or, at this point, but like, it's not a serious injury. I think they said described it as like a minor ankle issue. Like if Hopkins, Fuller, and Kiki Cutie are all healthy this year, plus you brought in Duke Johnson to be a pass catching weapon, like there's almost no chance that Deshaun Watson doesn't become quarterback one. That's if all three of them are healthy. That's maybe the best wide receiver core in the league, because they're all just
if all of those play 16 games, fuck yeah.
I'd yeah, and I mean, that's not even taking into account the rushing production that Watson's going to give you. Like, that's a huge thing as well, and it's something that Mahomes doesn't have. It's, you know, it's just so – it makes so much sense to me that Deshaun Watson would be the number one fantasy quarterback. And again, we're banking on a lot of assumptions that may not happen. Will Fuller and Kiki Cutie are very, very injury-prone or have been in their short careers. But I think it's a risk worth taking because even, you know, even if they're not healthy, you get Deshaun Watson from last year or from the year before where he's just chucking the ball to DeAndre Hopkins and that still works because it's Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. Like you said, they invested in the offensive line. I think the offensive line is still going to be bad. It can't be any worse than it was last year because last year it was the worst offensive line this side of the Cardinals.
Right. And what I'm saying is that I'm not saying that the, oh my God, the Texans O-line now is like revamped and they're great. All I'm saying is that it has to be better. It has to be.
Yeah.
Theoretically, even marginally better. Right. And even through their offensive line, which has been disgusting, he has been incredible fantasy wise. I think the Texans win the AFC, dude. So when we've talked about before, you can't draft people off what you think injuries may happen, right? It's the same that goes for Deshaun Watson. Like, yes, is Will Fuller injured? Yes, Kiki is already banged up and like that makes sense and whatever. And there's a small sample size on what they've done. But you can't draft against that. And if you're going to – people can justify drafting Mahomes, who if anything has a worse situation offensively than he did when he was elite, you know, whatever it is, Kareem Hunt for the first couple of weeks, whatever, Damian Williams, he still excelled, whatever, you know, Hill, whatever, nothing's going to happen there, fine. But Mahomes only has to go down. Watson only has to go up on paper. So, like with Will Fuller, so I looked up the stat, Will Fuller, and again, you can't count on his health, as you shouldn't, fine. With Will Fuller in the game, which has only been 11 total games in their 2 years, in Watson's 2 years. Watson has 30 plus fantasy points per game per week, right? And to me, you can't draft against that any more than you're going to draft against Mahomes having fewer weapons. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's Will Fuller being healthy has been like a complete boon to Watson's production. And I'm right there with you. I don't know if I agree with them winning the AFC because, and this is another point that I think goes towards Watson. I don't know that their defense is going to be that good. I think their secondary is going to be pretty bad. And I think that will lead to even more production for Watson and the rest of this offense. Like that's even better for us for fantasy.
You're right. The reason why I say what I said is that I believe that the AFC is going to be weak as fuck overall as far as the top this year compared to what we've seen, even the Chiefs. And like the Chiefs obviously will hang and like throw down. But I think that the Texans, while their defense is not going to be that great, they've improved on all their weaknesses. And I think that they at least have the best complete shot, if healthy, to be the most complete team. Again, it's a shot in the dark if they're going to be healthy. I would not bet for them being healthy. They have no depth on their injury prone shit, right? But that's just my bet on that of winning the AFC because we'll get into that another time. But
yeah. All right, let's get into these wide receivers. So we have Hopkins. He's going the sixth pick overall. That's wide receiver one. Are you okay with him wide receiver one? I know you argued for Tyreek Hill potentially being wide receiver one. Davante Adams is obviously in that conversation. I'm fine with Hopkins at wide receiver one.
I think honestly, I've argued for Tyreek and like Davante Adams, I think has a bunch of upside, but DeAndre Hopkins is, I think, the clear cut wide receiver one. Solely volume, no drops. Even when it's been bad and people have been hurt, it's there. Like there's no reason to not think that he should be wide receiver one. He's got the safest route to wide receiver one.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is the floor is just so there for DeAndre. And maybe the volume drops a little bit this year if Fuller and Kiki Coutee do stay healthy. But I don't think that matters as much. Like, I still think he can produce exactly as he has. I have no – like, I don't have the argument for him, like, entirely, but I have no argument against him as wide receiver one.
Keenan Allen not in that conversation of clear-cut wide receiver one.
Yeah,
this is like a bitch out on what I'm saying, but he's just not DeAndre Hopkins. Theoretically, right. Same idea. He's just not DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep, absolutely. So then let's talk about Will Fuller and Kiki Coutee. Will Fuller is the sixth pick in the seventh round. That's wide receiver 33. Kiki is wide receiver 48, eighth pick in the 10th round. Fuller is like the... Him and Tyreek are the two guys who just defy all math, where it doesn't seem to matter that they don't get the targets or anything like that. They just get long touchdowns. Like, it's just, it is what it is. And at this point I'm buying into it. I will absolutely take him in the seventh round. No problem.
Okay. Yeah. I'm saying that, and you know, I've been a Will Fuller guy as far as owning him or whatever. I don't know if I feel comfortable with him as like my wide receiver three. Actually, no, that's wrong. I shouldn't say that. I don't know. On paper, yeah, but I'm hedging my bets on that real hard.
Dude, the names behind him, like, I know it kind of seems a little bit early for Will Fuller, but the names right behind him are Larry Fitzgerald, Geronimo Allison, Dede Westbrook, Sammy Watkins, Curtis Samuel. Like, Will Fuller is ahead of those guys, you know?
Fucking, yeah, never mind. I take back what I said.
All right. What about Kiki at eighth pick in the 10th round? I know he's got this minor ankle injury, but what do you think there?
I don't like it at all. I saw something last year. He had like 50 to 55% of his yardage. I know, small sample size, six games that he was healthy or whatever it is, but it was like all against that weak-ass Colts defense and those shootouts. I'm not convinced on him. As wide receiver five, like, where did you say he was going?
Eighth pick in the 10th round.
So he's going wide receiver 48. We talked about Corey Davis going wide receiver 42. Not close for me.
Okay. I think that's fair. I mean, he's a good slot receiver. He's going to get those low A-dot targets. That's all well and good. The acquisition of Duke Johnson, who we'll talk about, worries me a little bit because Duke Johnson's sole purpose is getting these short targets that you know, Kiki Coutee would otherwise be soaking up. And why would you trade for Duke Johnson if you didn't want to use him in that way? The whole trade is a little confusing when we talk about that, I'll go into why. But that does worry me a little bit.
I'm not trying to bite on the third receiving options on the Texans at that price.
Okay.
There's number one wide receivers. I'm not going to lie. As much as I know he's not the number one on this team at this point, but like guys like Zay Jones were going in that spot last year and like fucking fringe Deshaun Jackson guys on the Eagles and whatever. I'm throwing that dart before I take Kiki. Banged up Kiki at that level.
Yeah, there's a slot receiver on a way worse team that's going two rounds later that I would like a lot more, and that's Jamison Crowder, just for perspective on things.
Way later, too.
Yeah.
And I'd much rather that.
Yeah, absolutely. Tight ends on the Texans are pretty irrelevant. They have Jordan Thomas, Jordan Akins, and Darren Fells. You know, one of them might be a streamer at some point during the year. I don't think we need to talk about them. Am I wrong?
No.
All right. So then let's get to the running back. Lamar Miller currently going fourth pick in the sixth round. That's RB29. Similar to how you said Corey Davis might be one of the latest wide receiver ones, Lamar Miller is one of the latest RB1s going in the draft. Are you buying him at that price?
Let me ask you this way. If I told you Monday Night Football, you needed to pick, apart from the elite guys, you need to pick a running back to get you 8 points for a victory on Monday Night Football. Is Lamar Miller in your top 14, 15 for that?
No.
Okay.
Fair. Not at all. He's like, part of it, I think, is that Bill O'Brien is committed to running him into the back of a bad offensive line. But like, Lamar Miller is just the most bland, boring pick you can make in your draft, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, Brandon, I'm saying this on the fact where I draft three wide receivers, running back, you know, say you bite on Mahomes, whatever. I'm saying that I can feel comfortable week one or whatever it is, and my expectations are low. Like, when we talk about these fringe running backs, is why he's bad, is that Lamar Miller's ceiling is weak, right? Mm-hmm. And his floor is also kind of weak. But I truly would feel fine with having to have Monday Night Football. If I said Lamar Miller gets me 7.5, 8 points on a given day, I'd be like, I have a lot of faith in
that. Okay, show. I guess that's fair. Do you have any concerns about them bringing in Duke Johnson in terms of his passing down work? Because, like, it's like Lamar Miller wasn't getting a ton of passing down work to begin with, or a ton of, you know, because the Texans and Deshaun Watson, they don't throw to the running back a ton. And that's one of the reasons that I was a little puzzled by the Duke Johnson trade, was because they're towards the bottom of the league in running back targets every year for the past couple of years. But with Duke Johnson coming in, to me, that siphons off some of the passing down work. I don't think Lamar Miller is going to be rushing for 100 yards and a touchdown every week.
No, not at all. That's not what I'm saying. Duke Johnson, I honestly think it's an outlier of this situation, where I think he's almost irrelevant to Lamar Miller, where Lamar Miller, at where he's going, I think, is a matchup-based play, especially running back 29, like hardcore running back 3, is like the Texans are going to be up a lot in games, I think. I think the Texans are going to be a really good team. And I think that hardcore bank on Lamar Miller getting – possibly not a touchdown, but a total of like 65 yards, 7.5, 8 PPR points if I have to fucking bank on that. If I go high upside early and Lamar Miller is my running back 2, I don't want to lean on that at all. That's not what I want my team to be based on. But like, if you go straight up, like say you go 3 receivers, Marlon Mack, Lamar Miller ends up being your running back 2 with a bunch of hedged running backs completely right after him, I think I'm okay with that for sure. Is because Lamar Miller has a better route to 14 touches than a lot of running backs in the NFL on a given day. I would say there's only maybe 22 running backs. Again, I'm spitballing here, but I could say there's only 22 to 25 running backs you can guarantee get 12 to 13 touches on a given day. And while that's not beautiful, I think that that's value.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, to put it into perspective, the guys going around him, like Miles Sanders, Kenyon Drake, Latavius Murray, like you said, Lamar Miller has an easier road to touches than those guys. And we're trying to accumulate volume, so it does make sense.
Miles Sanders, I'd take over him, but you're telling me Lamar Miller or Kenyon Drake? Say you draft both of those dudes week one and you got to start somebody. Who are you starting over Lamar Miller, Kenyon Drake? Let's say you have Lamar Miller, Kenyon Drake, and who was the other guy?
Latavius Murray was the next one.
Latavius Murray. Who are you starting on the
field? It's either Murray or Miller, and it probably depends on the matchup specifically. But, I mean, Miller is going to get more touches than Latavius Murray week one. I don't know if he's going to outscore him, but he's going to get more touches, and that's the easiest thing to bank on or to project on in fantasy football.
I'm not telling you to buy into Lamar Miller. I never have, even when he was better, and I never would. But I'm just saying that as far as insurance purposes go, again, number one running back at running back 29, round
six.
What is it? Six. I don't love round six, but like, I'm just saying that I would bet decent money, more than a lot of other running backs, that he could score me between 7.5 and 11.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong. And I like what you said about, you know, maybe if you go wide receiver early, you have one running back before that, you get Lamar Miller. And then to me, I'm just peppering in high upside running backs after that and hoping one of them hits. So I don't have to start Lamar Miller, but if I do, it's not the worst thing that could happen in the world.
Right. Week one, maybe, but I mean, don't, I'll tell everybody, don't put yourself in a position where you have to start Lamar Miller and you're like handcuffed yourself to do it for a long period of time. No, don't have that faith. But like, I think that he's week to week more consistent than a lot of fringe running back fours.
Okay,
for sure.
Fair enough. Do you think Duke Johnson has any standalone value?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Flyer.
Yeah, I'm having a real tough time kind of discerning the value in Duke Johnson. With where he's going, I'm not sure that I'm going to end up with him too much. Because I've been suckered into the Duke Johnson trap before, but again, if he does take some of that Kiki QT work more so than the Lamar Miller work, that might lead to him having a little bit of standalone value.
Yeah.
Do you have any
where I'm looking at? I don't love it, but
yeah,
I don't love
it. Yeah, it is what it is at this point, I think. Do you have anything else big on the Texans or?
Not really. I just think that there's no reason to not buy into them and everything that they are on paper.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So yeah, I guess that wraps up the AFC South and hey, that wraps up all of our divisions. We're done with them, dude. So it's been a long while. We'll on the rest of the podcast preseason, we're going to be talking about you know, preseason news, draft strategy, guys coming up and down the draft boards, that the whole nine yards on all of that. So we'll keep you guys updated as those come out. But before we go and wrap up the AFC South and our division previews, do you have anything to leave the people with here, Rogers?
Well, yeah, we still gotta do the AFC South.
Right? Fuck off. I texted our group and was like, have we done the NFC West yet? Like literally the day after me and Vinny recorded the NFC West, which is what I would assume you are making fun of here.
No.
But anyway, that'll do it. So for Rogers and for Let's Talk Fantasy Football, I am Walsh. Later, podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.